Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. This week, we begin an exploration of happiness in later life.
Our guest today is Dr. Ellen Kashuk, who is on the phone with us from Costa Rica. Ellen was a professor of psychology at San Jose State University until her retirement. She's one of the founders of feminist psychology, which she has practiced and taught since 1972. She has an extensive list of books and journal publications, as well as numerous awards. Welcome to the program, Ellen.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, that's good to know because our topic for today is happiness.
Right.
It seems to be a goal, not just of individuals, but entire countries. We even have a happiness scale that determines in which countries people are most happy. You have said that the pursuit of happiness is seen as a right in this country. What does this actually mean for people?
I think it means that there's an expectation that they're going to be happy all the time, and that there's an expectation that something is going to make them happy, and especially in the United States, as opposed to Bhutan, which I assume is the country you're referring to that supposedly has the highest happiness scale, that material possessions and the next promotion and the next whatever is what Americans are taught is going to make them happy. And a lot of research has shown that that's not the case. So I think for the United States, we're mostly on the wrong path to happiness. We do the pursuit, but we don't get to the happiness as much as we could if we understood what happiness is.
So you're saying it's not happiness in and of itself that might not be something people would pursue, but rather how it's defined or seen in a given society?
Well, I think what they're pursuing, if you're talking about the United States, what they're pursuing is more material possessions, more money, more status. That's what I mean by the fact that they're on the wrong path. It's fine to pursue happiness, but there's a lot of literature showing that that's not what makes people happy. And there are two parts to that. In the first place, happiness is kind of a state of being. It's not a basic emotion. So it's not like you're going to walk around dancing all the time, or the way people are when they're first in love, or crying when you're sad. Those are kind of primary color emotions. Happiness is more of a state of, an ongoing state of being content with the way your life is, peaceful, satisfied with what you have, not satisfied and always wanting more.
In a previous interview, you talked about mattering as more central to a meaningful life. How's happiness different from or similar to mattering?
I think they overlap very much, because I think what gives somebody happiness is paying attention to what matters in their life and what matters to them. It can be different for different people. And then trying to make your life filled with what matters to you, not what matters to your culture or other people or any place else. So it's a form of mattering, as I mentioned before, I think, is a form of meaning that includes the mind and the heart. We don't have a word for it in English. Other languages have a word for it. So the idea is for each person to figure out what really matters to them and to as much as they can to design their life that way.
You're working in Central America, Costa Rica right now, and I wonder if this gives you a broader everyday sense of other worldviews and what's important. Does happiness, first of all, seem to be a goal there in the society or to individuals? And if so, how is it defined there or experienced there differently than here?
Well, it's interesting because Costa Rica is one of those countries that's supposedly high up on the list of happiness. I assume they base that on self-report because I've never been quite sure where they got it from, except one of the things that's not high on the list of values for Costa Ricans is telling the truth. And so if somebody asks you if you're happy, you're going to say yes. And usually they say, thank God, or something to that effect. It's a Catholic country. Gracias a Dios, or que dicho, which means the same thing, more or less. Whether they're happy or whether they're saying they're happy is a question. Americans tend to be a little bit more direct about expressing how we feel. And there are other countries that are even more direct than we are. Costa Rica is not I mean, this is a gross generalization, but Costa Rica is not as goal-driven. People here are not as goal-driven as in the United States. They're more embedded in family and extended family. So asking somebody here if they're happy probably has to do with not just their individual self, but how well their family is doing. Another point about the United States is that there's been a lot of research done on this question, and one of the most interesting results is whether money makes people happier. And we're in a time now where the greediest people are in control. And you can, just looking at them, you can see that they want more and more and more. And that's kind of been an American ethos. And what the research shows is that basically beyond an income of $70,000 a year, more money doesn't make any difference for a family, $70,000. And also there's a lot of research showing that people that are poor are very happy if their life is filled with what matters to them. And if what matters to them is friends and family and things that don't involve material needs, then they're perfectly able to be happy.
It seems like in the United States, we see happiness as sort of a birthright. And I'm wondering if having that perception actually makes people unhappy, because it's very difficult to be in that state 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for one's entire life.
Yes, we believe, it's written in our Declaration of Independence, that we have the right to the pursuit of happiness. And most people misread that as the right to happiness. And then they're constantly evaluating their life against some external standard. And why aren't I happy? Well, if I only had this, I'd be happy. I need a new car. That's what you hear a lot in the United States. I need a new car. I need a new whatever. And then I'm going to be happy. And those kinds of things are like a good meal. You digest them and they're gone. They don't make you happy. I've never felt happy when I bought myself something new. There's a sort of temporary feeling sometimes, but that's not what happiness is.
Ellen, thank you so much again for taking the time to talk with us.
My pleasure. Anytime you want to talk to me, I'm available.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week, and we hope you will be too.